Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to genetically engineer the extinct dinosaur that is tourism marketing in 2022.
Oh my gosh, the dinosaur.
We're bringing it back.
Are you implying that we went extinct?
Almost did in 2020.
Okay.
It was close.
Yeah, well, I could see it. Very creative today.
No, I just saw the trailer for the new Jurassic World movie, and so I'm like, I'm all hyped. It's going to be awful, but I'm really excited.
I thought you were going to say it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awful.
It's going to be awesome and awful. Okay. It'll be both.
Yeah. I know you're a big fan of the franchise.
Yeah, I'll love it no matter how bad it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad we cleared that up. Cool.
So, Sasha.
Yes.
Can I tell our listeners a story from earlier this week?
Please do.
Okay. So, you all know what I have to deal with working with Sasha, right?
Oh, no. Wait.
No.
You didn't say it was a story about me.
Oh, it is. So here we are on a call pitching to a new client. And what are we going to go over? Everything. We put together a great plan, multi-channel approach for this client, both traditional and digital media. We set aside 45 minutes. What does Sasha do? She takes an hour to go through her stuff. And I don't get to talk about mine at all.
I feel like this is just my subconscious at play pushing digital out the door and that it was all strategic.
I know. I don't think it was subconscious. I think you just, you planned it. You were like,
premeditated. No. Premeditated.
It was. It was totally premeditated. We had to reschedule a second meeting for the next day so that I could share digital tactics.
So he had a full day to mull on my traditional recommendations. And by that time, he'd already want to do them and he'd have no more budget for digital.
Yeah, that's exactly what's probably going to happen.
It's a cruel world out there.
It's insane. These arguments we have, they play out in real life, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Totally lost that one.
I was going to say, if that's...
I should have shut that down, but I did not.
It was too captivating.
I don't know about that.
Fun story.
Yeah, I just...
I'm going to say no.
If I can tell a story? No.
Right.
Next time I'm not going to ask.
Now you have to tell like a fun story about, you know, yourself or your weekend or something. That's what I was waiting for.
What?
Yeah, like
no, I just told a story. I just told a story. I don't even know what you're talking about. Why don't you tell a story?
Well,
since you like to talk so much.
Okay. So I had enchiladas for lunch and they were great. And then I drove here and now we're recording.
That's a great story.
That's the highlight of my day.
I'm sorry, listeners, for wasting your 20 seconds on that story. That was awful.
To combine their, like, both these stories. Like, no.
Oh, okay. Should we... Let's move on. Sasha, we have a little bit of housekeeping to go over just about our schedule and stuff. You want to talk through that? Do you mind?
Yes. So Josh and I are making a few changes to our release dates for our podcast. We've decided that... we just cannot talk to each other as much as we currently are. And because of that, we have to cut down to one episode a month. Now, that's not the actual reason, but we are actually switching to one episode release date per month. So watch for that. Just not quite as frequent as we have been doing every other week. Just a little bit bandwidth related, Josh, and some of the internal changes we've had this year as a company. So we will be continuing on at one episode a month.
Yeah, no, it's not because of bandwidth, Sasha. You know it. Adam, our producer, was a little worried that we might end up killing each other if we spent too much time in the same confined space.
Yes, exactly. So here we are at once a month.
Yes, and I'm recording from home today, just for safety's sake.
We're keeping 6 feet and then some. 12 feet for Josh and I.
Okay.
Well, Josh, yeah, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so today I thought we should talk about business travel. Is it a thing yet? Will it be a thing ever again like it used to be? And what can we do as media buyers to help our clients attract, you know, business travelers again?
Yeah, great topic. And we, gosh, this is so nuanced. There's so much we could go into. I feel like most of our episodes are targeted to leisure, and we could spend so much time on business and convention travel.
There could probably be a whole, like,
podcast,
like not yes, just an episode, like a thing, a show, yep, about it all.
No, definitely. But I saw some interesting stats we can start off with.
No way.
When it comes to business travel recovery. So
okay,
some of my airport partners, transit partners, have shared some of this with me. So according to Global Business Travel Association, 75% of travel management companies expect business travel volume to be much higher this year. So that's interesting and positive. 75% expect it to be a good bit higher. And then 82% of travel managers feel their employees are currently willing or very willing to travel for business. So I think a year ago, we were seeing very different stats as it relates to this topic. And fast forward to now, we are seeing travel return on the leisure side in a big way this year. And I think business is trailing, not quite to the level leisure's at, but it is coming back and trending positive.
Yes, I think we all were a little nervous after how the year started off with good old Omicron. But yes. I think it's true that things are at least trending in the right direction. And as destination marketers, we need to start thinking about this audience segment again.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Josh, what types of business travelers do you feel like are out there?
Well, there's a lot. But can I talk about one other thing first?
Yes.
So one other thing that, you know, has me just a little apprehensive about the state of travel in our, you know, in our country in general right now is gas prices. Like, this is relatively new. We're recording this the second week of March, and we've got, you know, this war in Ukraine and all the sanctions happening with Russia and stuff is complicating energy prices, and gas is starting to go up. We're starting to feel it. And I mean, personally, just a little nervous about what that's going to do to drive markets, especially like the longer drive markets. And maybe while that might not be the primary concern for business travel, it's just something that's on my radar for something I think we all need to be watching and paying attention to.
No, you're absolutely right, Josh. And I think we're seeing some recovery post-COVID, and now a new, you know, this war, as you mentioned, is presenting a new threat that we do need to be watching and mindful of to see how it does affect travel.
Yeah. Thanks, politicians.
Oh, gosh.
I appreciate it. Okay. So I think there's, like, let's get back into, like, the main topic here. I just wanted to make sure that was on everybody's mind. But, you know, when we're talking about business travel in general, I think in my mind, there's a few different audiences even within that overall audience. So tell me to shut up if you think I'm wrong. I mean, you can't, listeners, but Sasha can.
I was going to say, how early do you want me to start enacting that?
I take it back.
Just kidding.
Okay. So I think first and foremost, there's the convention and meetings markets, you know, that's primarily the people who are responsible for booking those events. So that's one segment to think about. The other one that I think is extra important right now as business travel starts to kind of happen again is what a lot of people are calling bleisure, so business and leisure travel. People who regularly are traveling for business, maybe they're salespeople, or maybe they're traveling from a satellite office to the corporate office for meetings and things. It's about taking those individuals who are already planning trips for work and then turning them and getting them to extend their stays, right? And spending more while they're in town. Does that resonate?
Yes.
You haven't told me to shut up yet, and I just talked a lot, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no, you're okay. Doing great. All right.
Great, cool. The one other market that I don't think we'll have time to get into today and is really most important for the DMOs that also have an economic development piece to their organization, that would be like business recruitment. It's less about travel and more about economic development. But I do think there's an element of that that kind of touches what we're talking about today.
Yep. No, I think the first two groups that we'll dive in a little bit deeper on today, it's interesting because you have to approach them totally separately. I feel like they're just very different strategies that we'll be talking about to hit those different groups.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, Sasha. Like conventions, meeting sales, I'll be honest, this is still like a piece of the world that I'm not as comfortable with as I am with like general leisure travel. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have a few thoughts about what I would do to attract these individuals, but you know, how would you go about it? And what kind of messages do you feel like people need to hear right now?
Yeah, I feel like as far as messaging, man, I don't know if I have good thoughts on that. I might leave that to our really creative design personnel. But let me tell you how I'd go about targeting them from a media standpoint and why they're so different from bleisure. On the convention meeting sales side, you have a niche group that you're reaching out to. You want to reach out to the decision maker, the planner, you know, the event coordinator, the meeting planner, whoever is actually booking that convention or booking that meeting. And so with that type of marketing, you're able to be more targeted, and you should be speaking, like I said, kind of directly to that decision maker. Versus if we're talking about the bleisure audience, that could be a larger group, you know, anyone who is attending that conference, attending that meeting, you're going to hit them while they're in market. So instead of reaching out to kind of this narrow group of planners who are making the decisions for conventions and booking those centers, bleisure is you're really just hitting those attending, right, who are in the market and might be there for the event or for whatever other business that they're coming to. So you might have some specific groups within the bleisure you can travel if you know that truckers frequently pass through and stay at your location, or you know, whatever it is, that might fall across a lot of different categories. But in general, I think it's a wider net than what we're looking at for meetings and conventions.
Yeah, I think you are right, I guess.
You think?
I think so. I think you're right.
Okay, I'll take it.
I think as like, you know, from a digital side of things, we can obviously get more targeted than you can. I mean, let's be honest. But if I'm going to tackle this project for a client, definitely need to get a good feel for what... especially if you're like a decent sized destination, you probably have some sales individuals on your team that are helping these convention and meeting planners book their events. Mm-hmm. So what I would want to know is, what does the sales team need? I want to know, do they need help getting leads and finding people to even consider them as a destination for their travel? Or are we still, or do we just need to help like nurture their leads and convince them that this is the place?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like too, another question I could add here is, what type of awareness are you doing, and do you need more awareness? Are your salespeople coming across a bit of a brick wall where people might not be familiar with, you know, the different meeting houses and convention facilities that you have available? And if that's the case, I would have your sales reps work with you to understand what type of group, like what industries are typically booking your facilities, how large of groups, like those kinds of questions, as far as honing in on your ideal audience or the ideal meeting planner or booking party, like that would help as we approach media, right? That would help us get more targeted, more tailored, and understand really who we're going after. Because even within the meeting planning world, there are a variety of different types you can hit, I guess I should say. So kind of understanding size and, you know, what brings those groups in, like, is it the actual facility? Is it the activities available in your destination outside of your facility? So gleaning information from your sales group will help you in approaching media if you do need awareness.
Yeah, that's a good point. What makes your destination the ideal place to host these folks? And honestly, I think if there was a time where traditional media might make some sense, it's right now, because not everybody is even considering bringing back business travel. And so if you are wanting to take your corporate team somewhere for an event or something, well, heck, you might not even be thinking about taking your corporate team somewhere.
Yeah.
And at this point,
you know, it's funny that you say that, because remember when we were talking probably a year ago, and I don't know if it was on the podcast or not, but our clients who, just on the leisure side, our clients who kept marketing going, they kept it rolling through some of those down months with COVID, they kept it rolling through some of the uncertainty. They had a smaller hill to climb when travel picked back up. They saw not as much diminishing return, I feel like, when things started rolling again, because they stayed top of mind. They kept some awareness out there. And I honestly feel very similar about business and convention travel. I think it's smart to keep your name out there. Stay top of mind. Be, you know, at the center of what, I don't know, so when people are ready to book, they think of you. Because that time is coming. And so I just thought that's an interesting parallel that we saw on the leisure side for sure. Mm-hmm. And we haven't quite had the opportunity to fully see yet on the business side. But I think this year, for those who have maintained presence, they'll see that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And let's just say that maybe even if your destination is one of the slower ones to recover, and maybe all of your properties aren't quite ready for bookings yet, it still makes sense to get the message out there so that when people are ready, you're there. So even if you shut it down for a while, bring it back.
Yep, I agree. Yeah.
So as we start talking about different ways to reach these people, Sasha, I have to air one grievance that I'm like, I can't, if I see one more of these ads or images on a destination's website, I'm going to lose it.
What is it?
Can we just stop it with, like, the man and woman in a suit with their arms crossed in front of, like, a convention center door or something? Like,
okay, you know what's funny? You're seeing it on every website, and I'm seeing it on every publication that comes across my desk that's convention focused.
So old. Yeah. Yes, you have a convention center. Yes, you want to showcase it, unless it's like designed by Frank Lloyd Wright or something. Like, no one cares what it looks like.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry to it. I don't want to offend anyone if they're really proud of their convention center. I've seen some cool ones.
But outside of the center, though, is not what's selling it, is what you're saying.
Yes, and a stock image of two somebody. Slightly handsome individuals hanging out in front of it doesn't tell you anything about anything, and it's just boring. I do think you should be kind of creative and come up with a message that tells the story of your destination and encourages travel at the same time. That's when it's great to really engage your creative team and come up with something interesting, but avoid being generic at, like, all costs. Like, it's not going to help you.
Well, and this is interesting, because a lot of the same arguments we talk about for the leisure side of tourism marketing apply to the convention business side of tourism marketing. But for some reason, there's a bit of a gap there in how people execute, which is very interesting, because I feel like you're right. A lot of people do resort to more generic. And I don't know if it's because maybe their emphasis is on leisure, or maybe business, you know, hasn't been rolling, that side of travel hasn't been rolling, you know, as much lately. But I just find that interesting. If you've gleaned how to be creative on the leisure side, apply those tactics to the business convention side of your marketing.
Yes. If on the leisure side, you're still talking about the microbreweries that everybody has, or the fantastic hiking trails, then you might want to reassess everything.
Yes.
I'm sounding really negative. I don't mean it. I just want to encourage you to be creative and interesting. It can come off poorly. One destination that I shall not name, I saw on their business page on their website, they had a bunch of people in like suits holding laptops standing in water.
Oh.
They were like on a shore.
Okay.
With their
working in the water.
They had like their suit pant legs like rolled up.
Okay.
And they were like waiting in the water. Interesting idea. Yes. The execution was not fantastic.
No, because that won't resonate. Nobody is taking a work laptop, work paid, company paid laptop into the water. That's not happening.
No, it was supposed to be like, oh, that's funny. There's like, but it didn't quite.
Okay. Didn't quite hit.
Connect, you know?
Yeah, I think you just got to spend some time considering why planners are booking your destination. You know, maybe that's
make it sound exciting.
Yeah. And a good conversation with your sales crew. Like, what's the final catch that gets someone to book? Like, what is that hook that you use or dangle that really grabs people to where they make that decision? Like, if your sales team knows that, that information could change things.
Yeah. Well, and something else that, you know, I was just kind of thinking about, I think like a couple of surveys I've seen recently seem to indicate that in general, people are they're not making travel decisions so much based on COVID type stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. But since business has been a little bit slower to return, especially right now, it's a great time to start talking about any sort of outdoor venues or outdoor like mm-hmm. opportunities that groups could go do. Like work with team building companies and ropes courses to put together some interesting creative and campaigns.
That's cool. Yeah, like if you keep your marketing going for business, or you start right now before it's really booming again, the industry of convention and meeting sales, you have months ahead of some of your competitors to get top of mind. Like there's just not as much inventory being taken up in the ad space, right? So you have that opportunity to stand out a little bit and be months ahead of somebody seeing resonating with your ad, you know, getting familiar with your brand, that when they come time to book, like it just feels like a no-brainer. Anyways, I'm beating a dead horse now, but I just feel like it's important, even though, you know, it might not be back to what you think it is yet.
Yes.
Give you that upper edge. You know, it could.
Yep. Yep. Upper edge, dead horses. You did it.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if any of my phrases make sense, but hopefully somebody knows what I'm trying to say.
I'm still interpreting over here, but we'll
just piece it together.
But you mentioned ad space, so let's talk about ads for meeting planners a little bit.
Yes.
I'll go first because my stuff's cooler than yours.
Hey, don't spend an hour though on it and then leave me no time.
You know, I think
that's
I will.
A rude thing to do.
I think I will. No, you know what? I'm going to be nicer than you, and I will let you speak.
Oh, taking the high road today, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
Let me know how it is from up there.
It's great. It's great. Yeah, you should try it sometime. Okay. So one of my go-tos for anything business-to-business related, which is essentially what this is, this piece of the business travel market, is LinkedIn. I think your destination needs to have a presence on LinkedIn organically and through paid media. You need to make sure that anyone who could engage with your content understands what your destination's about and what you have to offer to planners. And then the beauty of LinkedIn advertising is you can target job titles and job functions.
Totally.
And then match that with even company lists if you had like big fish you wanted to go after. You can get really targeted with your stuff and hit exactly who you need to hit. And you know, the sponsored content ads, like the in-feed typical ad types, do really well in generating awareness and interest, and easy ways to put lead submission forms right there in the platform so they don't have to leave. But then the other cool thing is, you've probably gotten it and maybe it's slightly annoying, but you can do in-mail ads too. So you could send ads coming from your lead sales guy that look like an engaging message, but you can serve it like an ad and hit these people in these inboxes, and they can just respond right back to you. And you can start a conversation. Open rates on those are fantastic. Last time I tried them, it was like in the 40s and 50 percentile.
Oh, wow.
Open rates and great engagement on that sort of thing. So
when you say make it look like an ad, are you referring to like one main graphic or an actual email conversation, like written text?
I might have misspoken, but what I meant was like it looks like a message.
Got it.
Like a direct message from a salesperson. Yes. To whoever your target is.
Okay, so like a personalized outreach type platform where they're saying, yeah, hey, let's connect, I thought you might be interested.
Yeah.
Nice.
Exactly. But you can include links. There's even ways to include some images in that so that there is a little more material for people to engage with through that. But it's a great personal way to reach out.
Cool. You know what I find nice sometimes on those types of emails? Sometimes there will be a link that says, hey, if you're interested, just schedule time on my calendar. Mm-hmm. And then I don't even have to reply back to the email or spend any other time, like, you know, in correspondence other than clicking a link and setting up a meeting if it is something of interest. And once in a while, I will do that. I will just set up a direct meeting and I'll say like, hey, this sounds interesting and I've got questions and I'm going to just set this meeting right up. So I don't know. That's what I thought of. I think that could be, that's kind of nice sometimes.
No, that's a really good point. And it's something that anyone doing any sort of like lead generation advertising should think about, is to make the experience as frictionless as possible for your audience. So if you can make it super easy for someone to just book a time and they don't have to start a conversation first, that's awesome.
Yeah, the lazier, the better. One click, mm-hmm, one and done. Love it.
Yep. If you have to have them fill out a form, limit how many fields the form has.
Yep.
Don't make it crazy. Even though it might be helpful for you to have all that information, you'll get fewer form fills if you make it like, here's 15 fields you need somebody to fill out.
Yeah, no, you get to 5 and then people are going to bounce out of there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice. Cool. What else, Josh?
What else? You're asking me. I get to keep going. Okay. Thank you. Something else I would do is email marketing. Super important right now, and especially for this audience. Email campaigns do very well in B2B scenarios. And so anyone who you have in your database who might have booked a meeting in the past or you've talked to in the past, make sure you're hitting them up somewhat regularly. Maybe it's an automated outreach, maybe it's not. Now I just threw my pen.
Things I'm are getting animated. Crazy over there. The mayhem is kicking in.
The mayhem is real. if you are doing some sort of lead generation campaign on LinkedIn or something, make sure you're dropping those people into an email campaign. We had a guy, you remember him, Sasha, Kyle, who,
yes.
He and I decided we'd call email campaigns the nurture and perch.
Nice.
We'd nurture people to get them to make a purchase. And this is the same sort of, you need to use the nurture and perch approach.
Nice.
I love that.
Why
so
is
much.
That not a title of one of our episodes? Can we do an email marketing episode and title it that? I love it.
Talk about the nurture and perch.
Oh, yeah.
We might have to give Kyle some royalties.
Some nurturing and some perching. I like it.
So anyway, I think those two things are, especially for meeting planners, are probably going to be the most efficient at generating interest. And then there's other things you could layer on, like throwing in some creative geo-targeting for target offices or whatever. But those two things I would not ignore. They should be a priority.
For sure. I also have two things I feel like should be looked at on the traditional side.
Two?
As, yes.
Wow.
Two that encompass a lot as well.
Oh, okay.
So the first item for traditional, and you could call it traditional, it kind of overlaps with digital as well, but there are a lot of partners, companies and partners and print publications that offer the opportunity to hit niche groups of meeting planners. So definitely partner, like do some research. Again, if you can understand what types of meeting planners you're going after, that will help you hone in on what publication or outlet is hitting this group of meeting planners that I want to also target. So there are some very targeted publications, websites, there's associations, there's all sorts of partnerships with other companies that you should be looking at for your business and convention travel sector when it comes to media. So we could do, that's a whole nother topic that probably deserves a deep dive that it'd be interesting to get someone on to actually talk about. Maybe we could find a good partner to come on our podcast.
Yeah, maybe. So are you talking about like using those from like a, here's a, like a half page ad kind of thing, or are you talking about it as like maybe sponsored content or
everything really? So I'm kind of blanketing this. Basically, you want to look for someone who's going to hit the group of meeting planners that you actually want to target. And whether that be a publication that's mailed quarterly, an association that frequently communicates with planners, that holds meeting planner events, that sends sponsored content out, or a website, right, and online. It's like a lot of companies or partners that I've seen, you know, a lot of the people we work with use, they do have a print component, an online component, an in-person component where they're holding events. And so it's robust. And I think there are also just some plain publications you could look at. So I'm kind of blanketing that all together and saying, vet some of those partnerships and see what might make the most sense, because there are lots of opportunities to hit the meeting planner that you want to talk to. It's just finding the actual group that does that, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. I'll allow it.
Okay, thank you. Whew, it's too much to talk about in one episode. The second tactic I want to talk about is direct mail. So again, with direct mail, it's really exciting because you can purchase all kinds of databases that hit the meeting planners that you're looking for in the locations that you're looking for. And then you can message to them through a unique personalized form of marketing with direct mail. So direct mail can be very interesting. You also have the capability with direct mail to showcase a little bit of your info or a lot of your info. You can mail trifold brochures. You can mail some of your, if your sales team has marketing materials that they've seen be really successful, you could translate that to a direct mail piece, whether it be the information or the piece type or style, and send that out. And with direct mail, you can definitely track results. You can have, you can look at the ROI that you're receiving if you put some tracking phone numbers, some tracking URLs, or maybe you just have your sales team do a good job of tracking results from direct mail. But there are lots of options where you can see how your campaigns are performing, who's taking action off them, and then you can even A/B test over time and, you know, all that good stuff. But direct mail, great traditional method for actually hitting meeting planners, like hitting those with that title.
Cool.
Yeah.
We might have talked about this in a previous episode. This is episode 20, by the way. So it's starting to get difficult to remember what we've talked about and what we haven't talked
about. Right. It was difficult for me on like episode 5, but definitely now that we're at episode 20, it's gone. Just kidding.
Wow. What I was going to say is, I think one of the things we've talked about before is email and direct mail can go very well hand in hand.
Yep.
So especially if you've got a very targeted list and you can match up email addresses and physical addresses,
yep,
and even names, like, beautiful. There's so much cool stuff you could do that way.
I love it. And with direct mail, you have lots of opportunity for what type of campaign you're running there as well, because you could hit, if you're gathering data from those who have booked your, you know, facilities in the last year, 5 years, whatever it be, you can reach out to them with a bounce back or retention type message or some kind of special offer or whatever it is. You can entice them back through direct mail easily if you're collecting that data. But you can also collect prospect data from sales reps, website, or purchasing a database. And then you can also speak to the prospect group, inviting them to come try your facility out, again, with whatever message or discount or whatever you'd like to use there. But you could use direct mail for a myriad of goals that you have, whether it be new customers or existing customers.
Truth.
Yep. So also pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay, Sasha, we've talked a long time. But I think we still need to discuss Bleacher.
Let's do it.
Okay. So when I first heard the term Bleacher, I was like, are you like stuttering or something? No, that's a word. It is now.
Yep.
I think in my mind, this is where there's so much untapped potential. So I am just personally, I think I'm headed to DMA West in a couple of weeks in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And if like the Tucson area DMO knew I was coming, they should be marketing to me to get me to stay over the weekend, because this conference is just from like Wednesday to Friday. Mm-hmm. I could stay the whole weekend. I haven't decided if I'm going to or not.
Ooh,
but
you're on the fence.
I know I'm on the fence, Tucson. Help me out.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I think that encouraging people to take their business travel and turn it into something more enjoyable is a missed opportunity. And sure, there are tons of people who just can't do that because maybe they got to get home to family or they've got to head to the next trip or whatever. But there are a bunch of people who could extend their trips if you gave them the right messages.
Yeah. Well, and there are certain people who actually bring their family, like would bring their family if mm-hmm. they knew they were staying. So you could actually even market to that level as well, that somebody may decide to bring their family for a couple nights and then extend a couple days so that they have that family time. So it's really more than just the individual. It could actually be that you're capturing a family.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then your restaurant bills and
yep.
tax receipts are going to go up because you got more people.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay, Josh. So while we're on the topic of Bleacher, I have a question for you then.
Okay.
Walk me through how you would go about capturing that audience like yourself who has a business trip coming up to a certain destination. How would you even start thinking about that and finding and targeting that person?
Yeah, that's the hard part, right? Like, it would be wonderful. And that's even something we've talked to some of our leisure tourism clients about. Like, if you know someone is planning a trip, how do you ensure you're in front of them? So with these people, I got a couple thoughts on how to identify them. So one could be, there was a destination I was talking to a few months ago that has a lot of business travelers and they want to improve their Bleacher marketing. And so one of the things we talked to them about is identifying who the major corporate offices are in their destination, mm-hmm. and then finding ways to reach their employees who are at the satellite locations. So that could be, if we know there's a bunch of travel between the satellite locations and corporate, yeah. just because you have conversations with the corporate offices in general about meetings and stuff, you could start doing some geo-targeting around the offices of their satellite groups. You can reach those people on LinkedIn like we were talking about earlier. And in that case, I think the content would just be like, here's why you should spend more time in X location.
Yeah.
It just like not being creepy and saying, I know you might be here in a month or two.
Isn't all online marketing creepy and they know anyways?
No, never. So that's one thing you could do is figure out like who the companies are that could be bringing remote workers in. And then finding those employees elsewhere. But then a couple other things I would consider doing is if you were going to do a little more like general awareness for potential Bleacher travelers, LinkedIn does have the capability to target individuals who travel frequently. So if they're on LinkedIn and LinkedIn knows they travel frequently, likely they're talking about it on LinkedIn, likely they're traveling for business. So you could message to those people to encourage them to take their next trip in your area. And if you layered that on with sales or engineers or something like that, you could get more specific with the type of traveler if you know that that's a thing in your destination.
Interesting.
So that's one other thought I have about how to reach potential business travelers would be through Google. You can, if your destination's big enough, there are ways to target people who have been researching travel to your destination. So we're in like the Salt Lake market. We could actually target people who are maybe in Arizona or California and have been researching travel to Salt Lake. So you could layer that on with maybe some other business types or interests that Google might have about them, and then target those people specifically. And then, you know, those people might be traveling to your area sooner rather than later.
Awesome. I think there are probably some similar capabilities with OTAs. I know we've looked at online travel agencies on the leisure side. I'm honestly not 100% on the business convention side, but I know we can hit those with the intention that are, you know, that are already like maybe planning a couple activities, and that I think there might be some options there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. The other type of marketing I think you could do for leisure is just hitting them while they're in market, like strategic outdoor, maybe airport ads if you have a lot of business travelers that fly in, you know, or drive mm-hmm. certain routes. There are some opportunities there with just, you know, your awareness tactics and hitting them where they're at in market and encouraging that last minute stay and kind of that spontaneous over the weekend booking or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I like that idea. And if you are able to, with digital tactics, you could geofence specific hotels that you know are either near the airport that get a lot of business travel or maybe are connected to big convention and meetings centers. You could geofence those, and maybe if you could work with your partners to do it well, you could come up with offers to incentivize extending trips and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you bet. Here's another fun idea I just had.
Ooh.
If you know the weekend and the times that a large convention is coming to your destination, you could actually wrap some cars or buses, transit, maybe Ubers, Lyfts, with a message, you know, about whatever exciting activity they could book or extend just a message about extending their stay. And you could actually have those vehicles travel around the conference during times when the group is let out for lunch or arriving or leaving. So I don't know if you really wanted to get, you know, if you had some money to invest and you wanted to get more granular, that could be fun. And I'd be curious to know how that may do.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I know our friends at Carvertise could help you out.
Yes, we love those guys over there. And that's what I was just thinking of that because I was talking to them. But they have a really cool product. And I think you could also just look at that with some of your transit partners that are in destination that you know a lot of convention visitors may be utilizing. But Ubers and Lyfts, if you know, again, that a lot of your convention visitors are taking those out for lunch, like that's cool. Let them wrap the vehicle, give the vehicle a brochure, because some with Carvertise, like you can actually leave a pamphlet that the Uber driver gives to the passenger. And so it's a nice takeaway. And that brochure could just be tailored to, you know, the business audience and inviting them to stay longer.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think if you are interested in that topic, dear listener, check out episode 11. That's where we talk more about that specific topic.
Yep, that's true. Very true.
Yeah. Let's see. We've rambled for quite a bit now. I think we can give people some time back. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, we could talk more. We could create a new whole channel about this. Maybe we should.
Yeah, maybe we should, but maybe we won't.
You won't.
No, it's been great. It's been great. I think we covered the bulk of what we wanted to cover.
Cool. Okay, well, to wrap things up, if you have a really cool business or leisure strategy that you've used before and you're listening to this episode and would like to share it, we'd love to hear it. So reach out to us. I am joshua@relicagency.com, and you don't need Sasha's email address.
Yeah, just email Josh.
We'd love to hear about it. And then also, if you are interested in getting a little more mayhem, we are somewhat active on LinkedIn and Instagram and TikTok, all as Tourism Media Mayhem. And yeah, we should be ramping up on those channels a little bit more than we have been in the past. So fingers crossed we can make that happen.
I think we've been saying that for quite a lot of episodes.
Shh.
Okay.
They won't
Sorry.
know. They won't
Sorry.
know. They won't know. How would they
But
know?
how would they know? But yeah, hit us up with questions, your feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, until next month. Buh-bye.
Bye.